Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, today's message is called Worship is the Answer. Is your answer. Worship is your answer. Amen. Now, you may say, Pastor Jeff, you always tell us the Word is our answer. Well, yes, it's true. The Word is your answer. But guess what the Word says? The Word says that worship is also your answer. Praise the Lord. And so we just Word and we find out what the Word says and we find out, hey, worship is our answer. You know, so many people, they get hung up, so many non-believers get hung up with why do we worship God or why would this God want us to worship him? It seems so egotistical and he seems so full of himself. God does not have us worship him because he needs it. He has us worship him because we need it. Amen? Glory to God. When you, the very main thing that it does, praise the Lord, as it glorifies God, it takes your focus off of the trial that you are in or whatever situation is coming against you, and it puts something bigger guaranteeing your victory. Because God is the guarantee of your victory, amen? With the way that you can end your trial or your strife, the things that you can come up with in life aren't going to do it, but God's way always will. And that's why we always look to God. We need to be people that learn to look to God. Especially when things are not going well. Especially when things are falling apart. This is the time, and this is so funny because you preach this, and I've preached along these lines before. I believe with new revelation today, some more revelation, but I've preached along these lines before, and inevitably, people come to me in trial, and it's like they completely forget about it. I'll just be completely honest with you. I come to myself in trial sometimes, and I've completely forgotten about it, and I need to be reminded of these truths. And so it's not bad that we get reminded of it. Amen. That's one of the things I love about preaching the Word is because God preaches to me too. Amen. And he helps me too. But worship is our answer, and true worship, it's not something freaky deaky. It doesn't mean that you have to, you know, get in some kind of trance with your arms in the air and just, you know, that's not necessarily worship. That's a worship. But worshiping God is much greater than that. And we're going to see here in the Word that really all worship is humbling ourselves. It's putting ourselves down, saying that you, in your estimation, you're not as good as you were, but God is greater, and so you'll look to him. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. I was listening to Pastor Nancy, and she was talking about worship. She had several services on it. But it was really good, and I believe the Lord spoke this to her or somebody closer, so I don't want to misrepresent that, but this came from the Lord at any direction, any rate, amen? And so I thought it was good to share it with you. He said, if you teach my people to worship me more, I will do great and mighty things in their presence. Glory to God. If you teach my people to worship me more, one of the, you know, we look at all the attacks of the devil. Of course, one of the biggest things that the devil uses in most Christians is distraction. And one of the biggest things that distraction does is it takes the focus off of God and it puts it on something lesser. Amen? So you can look at any kind of distraction. I have been endeavoring, I just said to my wife, I on the way down here, I said, I'm endeavoring in my life to just be less distracted by things. Because we all get distracted by things. If you're a person who gets, don't think that I'm just pointing you out and saying, oh, you're a horrible person. Listen, it is human nature to become distracted. If it wasn't human nature, then the Bible wouldn't deal with it so much. But it's human nature to be distracted by whatever else is going on. But God said to put our focus on him. He always draws us to put our focus back to him. And when we do, that's where we find our answers. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, what's it like to worship? I didn't get very far in thinking about this, and I started thinking about my dog, amen? If you've ever met my dog, little Cassie, she's about that big. She's not really a dog. She's just more of like a little ball of fur, the Lord. But she's a cute fur that moves around by herself autonomously. She just kind of goes, you know, and she's pretty awesome. But this little dog worships me, amen? How do I know? Well, because she just doesn't. She also worships my wife, which is really funny, praise the Lord, because my wife can't stand dogs, amen? But she'll just follow you around, and she'll sit there looking up at you, just waiting for some kind of attention, and then she even waves at you. If you look at her, you look down at her, yeah, she lifts one paw up, and she doesn't go like this, but she lifts one paw, she tries to get it up and keeps it up, you know, amen? But this dog worships us. She, you know, when I put her outside, she's pretty good. I could just let her go outside, and I just stand at the door while she goes and does her business, because we haven't taught her to use a toilet yet. Amen. I think that'd be a pretty neat thing. But with her, though, I'd be afraid that she might get flushed down. As I think even spread wide apart, she couldn't reach both sides of the toilet. Praise God. Hallelujah. But so at any rate, so this dog, I let her outside, let her out the back door, and she won't go very far. She listens very well. Unless she sees somebody, then she takes off, you know, she takes off after it. But generally, she stays pretty good. And so I open the door. But one of the things I notice is kind of cute is I'll open the door, let her go outside. And if she's been out there for a few minutes, she comes back to the door just to check to see if I'm still there and then goes back out. But this dog worships me, amen? This dog it worships our family. And really, this gives us a great example of what it is to worship God. You know, somebody who is just so in love with God that any moment that he would spend with them is just, now God will spend as many moments as you want, but any moment they would just mean so much to him, and that you would go to him and check to see if he's still there. And then the Bible, of course, tells us that God is never far from us, amen? And I just love that. I love the fact that no matter what I'm going through, that God isn't far from us. But there's, and the truth of the matter is, I'm never far from Cassie when I've let her outside and let her go to the bathroom, you know, go outside and go potty. And I didn't come up with that. I wanted to choose a little more manly word. When you got an unmanly dog, you can't use unmanly words. But I kind of adopted a lot of this, so praise God. But when you know, she goes out to go potty, praise the Lord, she comes back to check. Just to check to see if I'm there, you know. She's the truth is I'm not going to leave her. I'm not going to leave her outside. I mean, I can't leave her outside. She's so small. I mean, we had her outside one day, and I noticed hawks started circling around. And that's a very real danger when you're this big, amen? And so we have to watch out for her and stuff like that. So I'm never too far from her anyways. But the idea is God's the same way. He's never too far from us. The truth is, he's never too far from us. But we have to have this attitude about God where it means something to us to want to seek him out. Amen? And see, here's the thing. You know, a lot of people, if you struggle with a relationship with God, you just got to get into the place where you're determined that you want one. Because the Bible says that if you want it, if you go after it, you'll have it. He says, seek and you will find. There's no doubt in that. And so what do you do if you're not finding? You just keep going after it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things I love that the Lord has done for us is he's made us people he's given us the Holy Spirit. He's made us people that can carry the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will guide us and help us through life and all things in life. Isn't that wonderful? That he will. So if we don't know, if we just go to God and say, Lord, I don't know quite what to do here. Help me with this. The answers will come. Amen. So let's turn, we're going to start in 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles. Amen, amen, amen. Well, let's just believe the Lord for direction here today, because to tell you the truth, I was half asleep when this came to me, so. Praise the Lord, but God is good. He gave me revelation to see it. Praise the Lord, and we'll get into it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, this should be a familiar scripture for you. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This is a promise here in Scripture. I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So whatever is going on in your life, of course we know that this was, you know, spoken to the nation of Israel, but we know that it applies to us as well according to the New Testament, amen? And so, but we know that this also applies to us individually too. He can heal your own land. You know, just because you're with 1,000 people and 999 of them aren't willing to go, but you are, praise the Lord, God will still take you. Amen? Doesn't mean it'll always be as fast as it was, but he'll get you there. Because God wants to heal your land. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, and that's where I want to focus. To humble yourself is to worship. praise the Lord. Humbling yourself, literally, if you look up the word worship, most of the times that I know of that it's used in the New Testament, when you look up the word worship, it literally means to humble yourself. That's what it means. It means that, you know, it gives us the example in the Orient. A lot of things came out of that place, amen? Because there was, that's where the ancient world was, and a lot of customs of even here came out of there. But so in the Orient, they would, they would prostrate themselves. They would bow down on the ground. They would, you know, when we see that, you know, we talk about being bowing down and getting prayer and stuff like that. And that's where the idea of all that came from, was to humble yourself, was to get down on the ground and literally to worship God. Amen. Saying, and what it was is an actual, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible that are, there's a lot of acts in the Bible that are outward expressions of our heart. Amen. For example, if you get baptized, water baptized, we do that once a year here, praise the Lord. But if you get water baptized, it's an act of being submersed into water and then being, and then coming back and showing your heart to be, that you wanted to be born again. Amen. That you were dying to self and you were being reborn into the kingdom of God. Amen. And so it's symbolic. Is it necessary? No, it is not necessary. You can still go to heaven without baptism. But, it is something that is helpful. And so we need to understand that there are a lot of things in Scripture like this. And so to humble ourselves is to worship worship God. Amen. And so you can say it like this: if my people who are called by my name will worship me, praise the Lord, and pray and seek my face. You see, it's all about seeking God, isn't it? And that's really what about worship. Worship is all about. Excuse me. That's really all worship is another form of seeking God. It's seeking God, and it's telling God that you recognize His goodness. Amen. When we get on our hands and knees, or when we worship, you know, when you're praying, all prayer ought not be us asking God for something, but should be most of our prayer. I would say should be worship, should be worshipful. Amen. Because if we know the word, if we trust God, then we know that we already have. So we don't have to spend a lot of time on that. And I think an area where a lot of people fail is in this place of worship. They fail to worship God, reminding God of how good He is and the good things that He's done. And here's the thing. You can't, I don't care who you are. God's done something good in your life. The Bible says that He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. So even the most evil person in the world has the ability to be blessed in the world aside from following God. It's just a principle that God's put into it. Yeah, Charles Manson, when he was alive, could have gone out and planted a garden, and he would have gotten produce from the garden and could have kept him healthy, all that stuff. What? Hitler could have gone out and planted a garden. Amen? So we see that you know, God's goodness is for all men. So there's always some place that God has done something good. The problem is that when we go through trial, when we have opposition, when there's things happening in life that are tempting us or whatever, what that's doing is and rob our affection off of God and put it on the circumstances. And, you know I go over this a lot and we say these things a lot, but the problem is even though I say these things a lot, people still don't get it. I'm just telling you the truth. I just don't, and by and large, most people still don't get it. It's something that humans seem to struggle with, is this idea that they cannot be focused on their trial. And if you're focused on your trial will just perpetually continue, because that's exactly how the devil has designed them to work. That's why they're so effective. They're effective when Christians don't know the truth. But God said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, why does he say called by name? It's very important that he says that in there. Because when you're called by God's name, you're marked. God has set something aside for you because you are called by his name that is just automatically yours. That is called your inheritance. And that's exactly what that is. Praise the Lord. When somebody is, when somebody passes away and they're going to leave an inheritance to people, usually what is the first thing they look for if there's no will or anything like that? They look for the very next of kin, right? And what does that mean? That they're connected to him in that way. And that's the same way when God says that my people who are called by my name, first of all, you got to know that you're God's people. That's a very important thing. And secondly, you have to know that you're called by his name. That if you're God's people, you also got a call. And if you're called, that brings us to Jeremiah 29:11. That if you're called, then God's got a plan for you. And if God's got a plan for you, that plan is to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a future and a hope. Amen? And so we have to understand that as we get into this. So when we read the scripture, we can't just willy-nilly read it and just miss these important parts. Not understanding what God is saying. When he said, if my people were called by my name, he wasn't being poetic. He wasn't trying to add extra fluff to the message. He wasn't trying to extend the book of 2 Chronicles, amen? All he was doing is trying to get the truth over to you so you would see it and understand it. And that truth is that if you're called by his name, that you have an inheritance because you are his child. And if you have an inheritance, praise the Lord, then you have reason to humble yourself. If you don't have an inheritance, you might not have a reason to humble yourself, but then we got to go back and deal with some other things first, amen? Praise the Lord and get you saved. Praise God. But if you go to a church, if you call yourself, not just if you go to church, but if you go to church and you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, praise God. Glory to God. Another word I want to focus here on is the word turn. And turn from their wicked ways, amen? Praise the Lord. This is a big, big word. And what I mean by that is when you look at it in the Hebrew language, this word has a definition. It's one of those definitions like super long. There's a lot of stuff entailed in it. And I was reading down through it because I was just trying to get the gist of the word that's being used. And we're going to see this come up here again in a minute. Amen. But one of the phrases that stuck out to me about this word turn was to bring back to mind. Amen. So when you turn, you bring back to mind the former things, or you bring back to mind the things that were most important. Christians, this is what we ought to be doing. When we're in trial, when something comes up, when something comes against us, when something is trying to stop us from doing what we know to do, we need to bring something back to our mind. We need to turn from our wicked ways. And what's wicked ways? A lot of people think, again, we look at Charles Manson, Hitler, these guys were wicked. Yeah, but do you realize that if you go out and you sin, you're also being wicked? You're just as wicked. Why? Because sin is sin. Wicked is wicked. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, it's not worse to, you know, to it's not worse to, or just as bad to steal a candy bar as it is to go. There's differences. But in God's eyes, it's still sin. And sin is still wicked. Amen? And so God's your wicked ways. Turn from those things that are sin. Do you know that not trusting God is a sin? So if you are a Christian who is in the place where you are not and you're not trusting God and you're not realizing who you are in Christ, if you are a Christian who is living that way, you are a Christian who is currently living in sin. You say, well, wait a minute. I'm not a fornicator. I'm not an adulterer. I don't steal. Still living in sin. Jesus said, do not worry. He gave us that command. Do not worry. We don't have right to worry. You don't have place to worry. And if you worry, it's because you have not got a hold of who God is and your connection with him. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you won't be tempted to worry. Of course, we'll be tempted to worry. Praise the Lord. Whenever something bad happens, you know, first thought that runs through my mind, oh, it's all over. That's it. You know what it's like. When something happens, you know, you get a little twinge in yourself. You get a little pain in your chest, you know, all of a sudden, oh, man, that's a heart attack. That's what it is. Now, I'm not saying it isn't. We have to use wisdom, but I'm just saying most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, it's not something that's going to end you. You know what I mean? Most of the time, the things that we do in life, glory to God, most of these things are not going to end us. You know, if all of a sudden you missed a payment or something on something by accident and it looks bad, well, it's not the end of the world. Amen. And even if it got so bad, you missed enough payments on your house where they came and took it. Guess what? There's another house out there. You know what I mean? I'm not saying that's ideal. I'm not saying, but my point is that your end is always going to be strong and good if you are in line with God, if you follow God. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Josh, what did I say about starting that clock so late on the, praise the Lord. To bring back to mind. We need to bring ourselves back. This is the job of a Christian. The Bible says, Paul told us to fight the good fight of faith. What is fighting the good fight of faith? It is bringing yourself back to the things you know are true. I said it's bringing yourself back. Not bringing, well, sometimes it can be bringing your neighbor back, your friend back. You know, we can exhort one another, and we should exhort one another. We should lift each other up. But listen, this is our job. This is why we come together. This is why we congregate, because we build family, a family relationship. We build ties. Ties, yes. It sounded like I was saying tithes in my own head, and then tides. And I wasn't saying either of those. I was saying ties. We build ties with one another, that we get connected together. And what is that connection for? So we can walk in the fullness of what God has intended us to. God just wants us blessed, amen? And so he's given us these things to do so. He's given us these things to connect us. But we find them in a place of worship, amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians 3. Love the word. Love the word. There's so much good stuff in here, you know? I mean, it's just amazing to me. I read something else good, and I'm just like, man, there's another good thing in there. It's just awesome. This book is chock full of stuff. Good stuff. Eh? Plus, 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 17. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, this is talking about there's a veil that causes the Israelites to not be able to see because they're focused on the law. They didn't ever receive the Messiah, and so there's a veil over their eyes. But the in context here says, well, even to this day, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. There's a thing that is over unbelievers' eyes that they can't receive what you receive. You know, so often my wife and I will be like, we'll talk about a situation or something like that out there, and we'll be like, why can't people see how ridiculous this is? And then I remember, the Lord will remind me, that before I served God, I thought the same way. Because there was a veil over. I couldn't see the truth. I couldn't understand the truth. I couldn't understand God's ways. It didn't make sense to me. It only it made sense to go out and fornicate. It made sense to go and date whoever as many times as you want and just live that life. It made sense to do. That's what the world did. It wasn't a bad thing. But see, that's not what the Word teaches us to do. The Word doesn't teach us to hop around from bed to bed, from house to house. Amen. The Word doesn't teach us to church to be unfaithful. No, the Bible always points us to be faithful. About marriage is the ultimate example of faithfulness. That's why it's so important to God. God looks at marriage and says, this is an example of faithfulness. Without understanding that, and that's why I get so mad at people who bash marriages. There's people out there, you know, I used to work in a factory, and I would sit in the break room, and every day somebody was bashing their spouse and bashing this. I'm like, I get tired of hearing that stuff. That's why I talk about how good my marriage is. Praise the Lord. My marriage is good. You know why my marriage is good? Because both of us talk about how good it is. Because we spend time focusing on how good it is. Sure, there's opposition. Sure, she does things that annoy me. Sure, she does things that aren't right. But I suffer long. That's what I'm called to do as a husband. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. That's a joke. You all know that it's the other way around. Amen. Praise the Lord. That she deals with way more garbage on my end than I deal with on her end. But the point that I'm making is it doesn't matter. She still loves me, praise the Lord, and I still love her. That I was right, glory to God. Even when I was convinced I was right, which I'm usually not, but, you know, even when I was, praise the Lord, I believe, glory to God, we still have a good relationship. Why? Because we don't sit there. You know, one of the things I love in our relationship is that she has never gone to somebody and said, you know what he's been doing? She's never talked bad about me. I remember one day when early on in our relationship, this is when I knew I had a good one, praise the Lord, but early on in our relationship, we got in some kind of fight about something, some kind of stupid argument. And I remember, I don't remember the context of it, I do remember it was me being bullheaded. I remember that much. And so we walked away and went different ways for the day. We were still dating. I don't think we were married yet. And she was going to hang out with her sister. And the whole time she's gone, I'm sitting there thinking, oh, they're talking so much trash right now. They're talking so much smack. They're just laying it on. She's just laying it on thick. You know, and I come to find out, she didn't say one bad word about me that day. Man, it brought me to repentance, too, as I recall. I repented, didn't I? Yeah, I did. I remember that part. But the point that I bring, the reason I bring that up is because she had this opportunity, this perfect opportunity to trash me, which is something that, let's just face it, if you're a person who has a sister, one of the things you probably know is sisters like to talk, you know, and sisters can, you know, they can spread some trash real quick. Amen. Glory to God. It's just the truth. Nothing against sisters. You know, they're a wonderful thing to have. Praise the Lord. I don't personally really have any. I mean, kind of do, but they're not, no blood sisters. Amen. But I don't know why I'm on all that. But she had this, yeah, she was faithful to me, even in those early stages. And so I knew I had a good one. She wasn't going to run my name down. She wasn't going to make me look bad. And as far as like anyone in her family, as far as they know, everything is absolutely perfect in our household. Yeah. Yeah. And it is good. It's wonderful. We have a wonderful home life and relationship. But that doesn't mean it's not never without intense fellowship or anything like this. We wouldn't share that with other people. Amen. Praise the Lord. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The word turns here is to turn to the worship of the one true God. And so that's the focus. That's what the focus of us needs to be. Turn to the worship of one true God. There's one true God. He deserves our worship. There's one God who saved us. He deserves our worship. There's one God who watches out for us, who stands at the door waiting for us to come back in from going potty. Praise the Lord. That God is worthy of our worship. There's one God who has given us Jeremiah 29:11, hopes and plans, even if we never find them. Well, what do I mean by that? Now, if you never find them, it's not God's fault. He's given you a way to find them. But there are Christians out there that never know the full plan of God for their lives. There's Christians out there that never know any plan of God for their lives. They live and die. They go to heaven, find out that there was a plan, but God still was faithful to have a plan. I said he was still faithful to have a plan. Praise God. Hallelujah. That's pretty exciting to me. God is always faithful. Even the Bible says that even when we're not faithful, he remains faithful. That's so awesome. Praise the Lord. That no matter what, even if we're off walking in the woods, even if we're distracted by the squirrel, even if we're out there running around the yard, praise the Lord, even if the hawks are circling over and we're too dumb to see it, God is still faithful to be watching out for us and to be looking over us. That is reason to worship him, if nothing else. Amen? And that's not a bad thing. That's not a hard thing. Glory to God. So we see this turns in both examples, and it really means the same thing. So when one turns to the worship of the one true God, this sounds a lot like if my people were called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. What is turning to God? What is becoming a Christian? Do you realize that becoming a Christian is not just saying, I do? No more than just being, just saying I do doesn't make you a husband or a wife either. It's everything you do afterwards. You know, when you say I do, you that's an open-ended thing. That's an open-ended statement. That means I'm going to continue doing and continue doing and continue doing because I do. Amen. You don't say I do this one time. I did 15 minutes ago and not any longer. No, you say I do. Amen. And so that concept, that idea tells us that, you know, just, you know, we all know that, you know, somebody who just, so, you know, we see that in Hollywood all the time. People who get married, they say, I do, right? They probably even go through some kind of vows, but then they don't after a half hour, they're not doing it, you know? They're just, I don't even know why. You know why they're doing that? I'll tell you why. People do things like that because they're led by the devil and they're making a mockery of what God has instituted as a blessing. What means that I can tell you that I, other than our covenant with Jesus, our covenant with God, there is no other covenant on this earth that God cherishes like marriage. No other. It's an absolute fact. He established it from the very beginning. Excuse me. Praise the Lord. So to turn to the worship of the one true God. Praise God. We need to learn to worship. Now turn with me to Psalm 34. I'm pretty sure I'm not getting through this all. I knew that even coming into it, so I didn't even try. So I may extend it into next week. We'll see if that's what the Lord has for us. But needless to say, there's a lot more on worship than just what we're going to get into today. Amen. Worship takes our focus off of the trial and puts it on to God. And that's where it needs to be. And it's like I've said before, and I'll say it again. Your focus on your trial isn't going to change it. Your focus on how bad something is isn't going to change it. You can stand on some railroad tracks with a train speeding down, you know, however fast they go, barreling down at you, and you can stand there and worry about it all you want, but it's not going to stop the train from. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Psalm 34, we're going to start in verse 1. It says here, I will bless the Lord at all times. How many times do we bless the Lord? All times. I'm going to give you a little, there's been a lot, you know, Pastor Michael recently was preaching about prayer and stuff, and many of us were in those services. And, you know, and prayer is essentially just talking to God. Worship is a form of prayer. Amen. But I'm just going to let the cat out of the bag. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, and it says to bless the Lord at all times. Blessing the Lord is worshiping God. So what does this mean in your life? That's what it means. You don't worry about a set amount of time. You just do, which is worship God. Man, you know, there's times just over little things that make me happy in my day. And I'll speak out, Lord, praise you for that. I thank you, Lord. I remember one time I was driving. I was going to my mom's house. It was late at night. She lived out in the country there, out in Gary area. And I was on one road, and there was this swamp area that I was near. And in the swamp area, of course, in the wintertime, freezes over. And I pull up to this, I'm pulling up to the stop sign, which is at a T where the swamp is. And just as I'm pulling up there, and it was one of those winter nights where, like, the moon is out and you can see everything everywhere. It's like that bright. And this gigantic buck just jumped right in front of me. Now, I was already stopped, so it wasn't like I wasn't going to hit him. But I had never seen a deer this big in my life. And his rack was absolutely enormous. And he jumps out onto that ice, goes out just to maybe not farther than from me to Bob, you know, away. And he jumps out onto that ice in the moonlight, and he turns around and looks at me. And he just stands there, and he's all just like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, yes! You know what I mean? It was just awesome. I was like, praise God, hallelujah. Just got excited, praise the Lord. Your God will do things. He will allow things to get you to see things like that. Did just like, for no, like, it was just the right time, right place. That buckle, who knows, there's angels over in the weeds kicking them out. I don't know what happened. Doesn't matter, but I knew that God wanted to see that, and I was blessed by it, hallelujah. That, and I mean just even describing it doesn't do it justice, but it was just so awesome. We got to get used to praising God. We got to get used to looking for God in the little things. Amen. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. That's why I say praise God so much. It really is. Like I'm practicing always praising God. I want to praise God. Well, there's trial, I'll praise God because my God's bigger than trial. I'm not praising God for the trial because God doesn't give me the trial, but I know that no trial will keep me down. Amen. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a trial. Praise God. Hallelujah. My God's bigger. He's bigger. He'll take me further. I ain't got to worry about it. Amen. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I love that. His praise. What is his praise? This is how we worship God. His praise are the things that he's done for us in life. He's done for you. Start thinking about it. Find something. You must have had one. I was thinking about, praise the Lord. I'm just going to scan the room, make sure the person's not in here. Glory to God. But I was thinking about a person, you know, a person I love in the Lord, you know, somebody that comes to church once in a while, you know, but somebody who's just not very ever, I don't think I've ever seen a smile once. And I'm thinking, it's sad. It really is sad because there's a lot of Christians out there like that. And my thought was this, is not to condemn that person or something, but you need to know who God is. Because if you knew who God was, you'd start smiling a little bit more. You'd start finding reasons to smile because there's plenty of reasons to smile. There's plenty of reasons to praise God. I don't care what situation you're in. I don't care what you're going through. Amen? Oh, praise God. My soul, which is your mind, shall make its boast in the Lord. This, you know, David's teaching us something here. We don't look at the trial. We make our boast in the Lord. There's a trial. Yes, we don't like. I'm not telling you like the trial. You do not have to like the trial. Aren't you glad? You leave here today. Pastor Jeff, whew, Pastor Jeff told me I don't have to like the trial. Glory. Praise the Lord. God never said you have to like the trial. Jesus didn't say like the trial. He said be of good cheer. I have overcome that trial. But he didn't say like the trial. He said be of good cheer because I've overcome. Praise the Lord. Jesus overcame. It doesn't matter if you can or not. It just doesn't matter. Glory to God. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Amen. There's that word humble again. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. That's just stirring up your friends. Man, hallelujah. This is why you don't understand, man. I want my favorite things are when somebody calls me or somebody contacts me and says, listen, what God's doing in my life. Praise the Lord. I just had one from my sister Erin back there. It was a week and a half ago. Praise God, how 2 weeks ago, something like that. Praise the Lord. Just, I mean, it was like, it wasn't even, and she wasn't rambling, but it was a long message. And she's like, it's, you know, the Lord had led me during a service to lay in. It's not about me. It's about what God wanted to do, but had led me to lay hands on her in that service and for an impartation for, what was it, to prosper. Amen. Within 2 days, she's texting me. And here's this long list. She's like, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And I was laying in bed when I got the text, and I'm like, woo! I shouted out. I got excited. Praise the Lord. Why? Because there's somebody that got the Lord had moved on, and I get to rejoice with them. Listen, we need to share these things with each other. We need to go, hey, look, you know what God did in my life? Maybe everything was bad up until now, but this point, man, I'm just telling you, this happened, I got this word, I did this, or whatever, or you know, I had hands laid on me, or something was important, whatever. Glory to God. This is this kind of stuff that will build a church. Amen. Because other people want that stuff. They want that. I say, you know, I'm not talking about making it something, or because what they'll do is they'll come in, they'll find God. See, because we don't just preach stuff here. We preach God, amen? We preach that God will bless you and will do good things in your life, praise the Lord, but we don't do it out of that purpose. But it's, listen, when you look at the dinner bell of the gospel, it was Jesus going out healing people that couldn't be healed. It was Jesus going out and setting people free from demonic oppression and things like that. Glory to God. This is the dinner bell for the gospel. What did he do? He did good things, and then it drew people in. And that the ones that got the word and wanted to stay with it are the ones that prospered. Glory to God. Because here's the thing. You might come in, and a lot of people do this. You know, I've known of people who have been talked into coming to church by somebody, and they finally got there, and maybe something changed. Maybe they changed, and something changed, but then it just kind of, you know, that thing that changed wasn't God's highest and best. God had so much more for you. You decide to hook up and get and hold on. Glory to God, and you'll go into all the things that God has for you. Which you'll look at the, like, listen, I came in just wanting to be able to live. That's how I came into church. I just wanted to come into church and not feel like I wanted to kill myself every single day. That was my life. That's where I lived. But guess what happened? God didn't just sit. He wasn't just happy with me coming in and just feeling a bit better about my situation. He came in and, man, he filled me with joy. Filled me with the Holy Spirit. Started doing things in my life. Hallelujah. He sent me this wife. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know what I mean? Like all these things. He's built our house, built our home. And what I mean by our home, I don't mean the building. I mean our household, everything in it, to the point where we're doing things that we never thought we would do, and we're seeing things that we never thought we'd see. We're going places we thought we would go. Hallelujah. I never thought, I'm just going to be honest with you, I never thought in a million years I would have ever gotten to California. I didn't. California was so far away to me. Do you know how many times I've been to California? Not this year, but last year, several. Why? Because I follow God. And it was a desire of my heart to be able to take my whole family there with me so they could go and they could just see this. You know, and see, here's the thing. Man, if I get to see something for 5 minutes, I'm blessed. Man, if I had touched down in Rio and just got to see South America, just the fact that I can say I was in South America blesses the socks off of me. Amen. I never thought I'd be there. Went there for the Lord. Glory to God. He took me there. Praise the Lord. Let me see a few things while I was there. You know, but my point is that God is not okay with you just getting what you want. He wants you to get there, but he wants you to be blessed. But it's found in worship. You got to learn how to worship him and truly be thankful to God. This is where so many Christians, it's like, gimme, 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 gimme. And they're like, God's like, well, what about God? What about me? What about worshiping me, like the Bible says? Amen? Praise God. I think I'm preaching, the page is gone. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. But this is one who blesses the Lord at all times. This is one whose praise is continually in their mouth. No matter what the storm is, listen, I know there's bad storms in life. I've seen some bad ones, some of the worst ones. I've seen them, been witness to them. Praise God. Well, what do? We just rejoice. We praise the Lord. We keep our focus right. Because none of that stuff will change anyways. Pastor Nancy quoted Brother Hagin, and I think I got most of it right, and I just want to share this with you because it was really good. He said, any man will pray when faced with a need, but not many will praise when faced with a need. Any man will pray when faced with a need, but not many will praise when faced with a need. There's a huge difference in those two things. Some people get need, and the first thing, you got to call the prayer line, get everybody praying about it. You don't need anybody to pray about it. Start praising God. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:19, and that's meant for not, that's not, all Christians are not covered in that. Not all Christians have access to that. That's Christians who have given their heart and their life to the Lord. They've sacrificed their finances, sacrificed their time. That's what it is. Read it in context. That's what it is. God will supply all that Christian's needs. Luke 6:38. Praise the Lord. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. Praise the Lord. Be a person who's generous. Be a person who wants to give. Amen. Be a person who looks for opportunity, glory to God, to give to somebody. And I'm just not talking about in the church. I mean, make it a habit of your life that when you leave these doors, one of the things that you take with you is a desire and a heart after God, and that is to bless anybody that you possibly can bless. I have a goal. We haven't reached it yet, but I have a goal of blessing somebody every single day of the year, being a blessing to somebody every single year. Now, we're trying to, this year we started in that direction, glory to God. And I mean good. I don't just mean like, oh, you're blessed. You know what I mean? I mean like doing something for somebody every day of the year. Praise God. I want to live in that because when you live in that, glory to God, you live in that. You live in that flow. I want to live in that flow. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God when you're faced with a need. Stop focusing on the need itself. If you're praying over and over and over for the same thing, there's your problem. Praise Him. Praise Him. You can't praise Him if you don't believe the Word. If you don't trust God, you aren't going to praise Him because you're not going to be like, well, I don't know if it'll get better. Then you don't know your God. And you need to learn who He is. So then you got to spend a little more. Amen? Then the Word is your answer because you got to get in the Word and find out the things that He will do. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I sought the Lord and He delivered me. He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Not some of them. All of them. All right, turn with me to Jude 1:15. Getting help here today. Jude 1:15. Oh, yes, this was important. Yeah, this is why we're here. These are talking about people in the last days. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gauge. What is a grumbler? A grumbler is somebody who complains against God. God, why have you? That's a grumbler. That's, if you look it up, that's what it says. A grumbler. There's somebody, oh, God, why? You know why God hates that so much? because God didn't. If you're experiencing bad in your life, it wasn't God. I said, if you're experiencing something bad in your life, it wasn't God. I'm going to say something that might shock you. Maybe it won't, because you've heard me say it probably a lot. God does not cause death. God does not take any man's life. That's not God's job. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I know that doesn't fit with our religious thoughts or our religious processes. God is not calling. He's accepting people home when they die, but God doesn't cause death. He is the author of life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the death, the life." Praise the Lord. He said, "I have come that they may have death." No, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus came. Jesus said that I only do what I see the Father do. I have come to do the will of the Father and then the Holy Spirit. After I leave, He's going to stay. He's going to come. And that Holy Spirit is going to tell you only things that the Father wants said. He's not even going to speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, the Bible says. Praise the Lord. So you got to know how to believe God and how to trust God. Listen, you understand that if you're seeing death, and then death does not just mean the death of a person, of a human being, but death of any area of life. God is causing death. He is not causing destruction in your life. That's counterproductive and it's stupid. If you want to try to help people, you certainly don't try to stop them while you're trying to help them. How nuts. This is a thing the world can't get, but half the church believes it too. How nuts is it to think that God says, okay, I want you to go out and do all these good things in life, right? Trust the Lord, do good, right? The Bible tells us that if any man doesn't do good, to him it's sin, right? So God's telling us to do good, right? Does anybody argue that God wants you to do good? No, nobody argues that. Praise the Lord. Well, good. That's a good place. Praise the Lord. So God isn't, He's telling us to go out and do good, and then everybody acts like He's throwing lightning bolts at them every single time they go out to do good because, well, why? What sense? Can you, in a rational mind, now get out of your stupid religious head for a second and think about this rationally. Does that make any sense at all? Any sense? It would be like sending our troops over to a foreign shore and then like shooting at them. It would be stupid, right? I'm not saying it's never happened, but I'm saying that's stupid to do that. Not if you want to, and not if your goal is to win that thing, amen? And God isn't backwards. God isn't a thinker that's all twisted up, amen? Glory to God. So don't complain against God because it ain't His fault. But there is a fault to be sure, and you need to find out what that fault is sometimes. And so if you take time to find out what that fault is, God will help you. And maybe it's on your end, maybe it's not on your end. Maybe it's an external force and you just haven't dealt with it yet. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you're seeing death in your life, if you're seeing pain in your life, if you're seeing suffering, it is not God. And as long as you believe that, then I can't help you. I'm just telling you the truth. I can't help you. If you believe that, do not ask me. I'm just telling you right now, because after this point, I'll yell at you if you do. If you come to me believing that garbage, and then you say something, and then you ask me to pray for you, I won't slap you because I'll go to jail for that. But I'd like to, just know it. You cannot believe that God wants you bad things to happen to you, and then you're going to expect me to... Like, is my prayer more powerful than God? And listen, if God wants you, if He wants you broken and defeated and all these things, then what the heck's my prayer going to do about it? How am I going to, change God's mind all of a sudden because I've got some kind of in with Him? Like, if you do, you think a lot more highly than you ought. I mean, I do have an in with God, but no more than you do. Amen? We all have an in with God. Glory to God. Don't be a grumbler. There's nothing more disgusting. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen that? Have you ever seen somebody who is like spoiled rotten and they're just complaining about what their parents didn't do for them? I mean, somebody who's just been given everything and then they're like, well, you gave me everything, but... You know what I mean? We've all seen this before, right? It's annoying. It's the exact same thing. It's disgusting in God's nostrils. Well, praise the Lord. Yep, it's a nasty, smelly thing. Amen. Glory to God. Complainers. Complainers are those who complain about their lot in life. Why is this such a problem with God? Why does God hate? Because, you know, we don't choose where we're born into. Some are born into extreme poverty. Some people are born into extreme wealth. Actually, I've seen shows about wealth before, just throughout the years. You know, I remember seeing this one show about the people that were out buying stuff. And I mean, they were spending on one dress or something like that. My wife told me about a bag, right? I'm going to buy her one someday, right? A Birkin bag. You ever heard of Birkin bag? She showed me one. I couldn't believe it. Now, we're not weird. She was just showing because it was on a show that we're talking about. I'd never heard of a Birkin bag. I mean, I've heard $121,000 for a stinking purse. I'm just telling you. Listen, it would not sell them if they didn't sell. They do sell them, and they sell lots of them because the company stays in business. You don't have to sell near as much as you do if you're selling a, praise the Lord, a $10 bag. But you know, and I'm not even saying that's wrong or it's not right. It doesn't matter. A complainer would complain about that. A complainer would see somebody get that and start complaining about it. Well, why would you need that? Why do you care? What's it to you what I got? Amen? What's it to you what I wear? Listen, just because you don't want to wear one doesn't mean I shouldn't. See, this is half the problem with our nation today, is that everybody's looking at what everybody else does or doesn't have or what they do, and they're sitting there judging it as though. But here's the truth. Any single one of you, if all of a sudden you were made a multi-billionaire, Birkin bag would mean nothing to you. It wouldn't mean anything to you. And don't try to be so humble to sit there and say you probably wouldn't buy one. Because when you're walking around with your new highfalutin friends, you certainly would. Amen? Most people would. Now, I'm not saying, listen, I am not going after a Birkin bag. That's not what my point. But I'm trying to bring an illustration. There's way, way out of what we can fathom. Amen? But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to God. None of that stuff matters. Quit complaining about stuff. If you're complaining, you're the problem. Amen? Praise the Lord. People are complaining. Walking according to their own lusts. What are their own lusts? Judging everybody else. Thinking, well, this is because I want to do things this way, everybody else should want to do them this way too. Now, I'll just tell you the truth. When I do anything, I think that. I get annoyed just about everywhere I go when I have to deal with people. Why? I'm just being honest with you. Like, don't tell me you're not. But, I was in an antique store the other day. I go into this antique store. And it just makes sense in my mind that when you go in, you should turn to the right, and then you should weave through the store, and then go this way, and then go this way, and then go this way, and then come back, and then kind of go in this direction. This is the best way to go. But you know what I hate is when I'm in that store, and there's someone else in that store, they haven't consulted me on that. They have never asked my opinion on which way they should go. And I'm walking down that aisle, and I'm like, this is my turn to get here. This is my turn to see this, and you're coming from the wrong direction. You shouldn't be coming from this direction to come into this spot because this is my spot now. This is my area. And then you look at each other. You get like, you eyeball each other, and you're like, okay, who's going to yield? Right, because somebody's got to yield because now you're standing together in the same spot. Every time I go to the store, I have that thought. And then every single time I get corrected, thinking, why would you get mad about that? And so, generally yield. Or you're walking down the hallway and you're like, why are there two people standing in the middle of the hallway talking? Couldn't they move to the side? I mean, they're blocking everybody. You know what I mean? You're trying to get on the next flight and you're running. And there's like two people and they're just sitting there, da, 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 da. And you know, on just so you know, when you're going up an escalator or down an escalator, the right side is if you want to stand, and the left side is if you don't. If you want to walk up like a set of stairs, this is escalator etiquette, just in case you don't know. On those moving walkways in airports, the right side, they even mark it on there. It says, stand only, walk only. What do people do? They stand only, put their bag in the walk only. Praise God. How did I get on this? Huh? But we shouldn't complain. What do we have to complain about? Praise God. What do we have to complain about? And do you know that every single time I get annoyed by things like this, the Lord deals with my heart on it. It says, you know, he doesn't tell me, oh, you failed again. No, he's just saying, you got to get over it, man. Because not everybody's going to see things the same way you are. You know that stupid dress they put up everywhere? Some people see it black and white, and some people see it. No. I don't think those are any of the colors. You see it all kinds of different colors. I believe that God planned that on purpose, just to show you that you're not always right. We don't always get our way. We don't always get, praise God. You know what I've been working at in my life? I've been working at being a person who doesn't always have to have their own preference. You know, I've been endeavoring to be that person. You know, ask my wife. I've been working a little bit anyways. Glory to God. But a complainer is one who's blaming fate. Querulous. I didn't even know what that word was. I had to look it up. Complaining in a whining manner. Discontented. And that's the word that's really important there. A complainer is one who's discontented. Listen, if you're discontented, it's because you don't know who God is. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. Be content with where you're at. Doesn't mean you have to stay there. In fact, you shouldn't stay there. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you think you're on the pinnacle. You're not going to stay there. God has something more for you. As long as you're living, there's something more for you to do. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we are not going to get into pretty much anything else. But I had a lot of good stuff to share with you. So maybe, like I said, if the Lord allows, we'll do a part two next week. But, you know, if there's another direction, well, so be it. We'll get in another time. But I think we have enough here to go on, you know. We need to, this is what I want to close on, and this is actually a good place to close, because why does God so against complainers? Because a complainer is exactly the opposite of worship. Complaining is exactly the opposite. If you're complaining, then you are refusing to worship. If you're worship, you're refusing to complain. And so let's be people that, you know, one more real quick story. Can I give you this? One time I was driving with my kids, and my family has learned over the years that I'm not always the most joyful driver, as you can well imagine. And one of those days, I was driving down the street, and I turned a corner, and right behind a school bus. You know the thing, and we love our kids. Love that they get to, you know, get trucked around and stuff like that. That's good. And the school bus drivers want to be safe and drive half the speed limit, but we know that's fine. But I come around the corner and I was in a hurry, and I had that split second, right? And this one time I got it right. I had that split second, and I just went, praise the Lord, hallelujah. And I can't remember who was with me. Do you remember? Was it? No, was you? Yeah, it was probably Ezra. I looked at me like, couldn't believe that was what came out of my mouth. Amen. We don't want to be people. See, it's a process, right? We got to get to that. But let's not be people. Let's turn it around. Let's turn all because that's how we'll turn all the situations around. I'll be honest with you. I have a lot more peace driving now than I do is because I've learned to do that. I can still witness to people in an antique store, because I don't just blurt out everything I want to blurt out. Praise the Lord. First, amen. And so, you know, it'd do us good to start putting this to practice a little more.